Today we're going to talk about acceptance. And, you know, I always think of myself as a very accepting person. And one of my kids said to me this week, yeah, right. So, you know, there's always room for improvement there. But I think Lake and Bethel's done very well. I think this is probably one of the most accepting churches that I've ever seen. And, you know, we do try to accept everyone. But there's still, you know, in myself, I find that there's still some people that I have a hard time accepting. Recently, we took a trip to Minneapolis to see our daughter. And 5 minutes from our daughter's house is George Floyd Square. Now, those of you who remember George Floyd, he's the fellow that died with the cop's knee on his neck. And the city of Minneapolis has actually made a square out of it, and we rode past it, and I kind of wanted to stop, but I looked out the window of my car, and I decided I didn't want to stop anymore, because it looked kind of scary there. So, you know, I just didn't do it. I didn't want to stop, but it's 5 minutes by car from my daughter's house to get to this place, and it's a grocery store's right there, and the exact place where it happened. And I thought, you know, I'm being a little judgy here because I didn't want to get out of the car. Can I actually say that everyone's equal at the foot of the cross, which is, you know, one of my cardinal teachings? And then we went downtown Minneapolis because there's a church there that has a really controversial sculpture in front of it. It's put up in the 70s. The church is Westminster Presbyterian. You can Google it later if you're into that sort of thing. But I had seen that sculpture sometime in the 80s, and I just wanted to see it again. I hadn't been there in a long time. And so we were walking around this big old Presbyterian church. The thing takes up a whole block. And standing on the corner there in downtown Minneapolis was this older woman who was just yelling at the cars that were going by. She had a bag, a trash bag in one hand and a pint of vodka in the other, and it was three-fourths gone. And she was yelling at these, and I didn't really want to talk to her. I found myself being judgmental there. My daughter said, I can be snotty. So, you know, I do have that. But then I teach this, you know, that everyone's equal at the foot of the cross. And the Alliance of Reformed Churches, you know, the group that split off from the RCA because, you know, we're not conservative enough for them, they now have waived the requirements for pastors to have an education. So they've just ordained somebody who doesn't even have a college degree, let alone a seminary degree. And I think this is a tragic mistake that I found myself saying, you know, I don't like uneducated pastors. I'm a snob. I have become one. You know, am I running an exclusive club where people are not accepted? And that's what they're doing. But I am judgmental of them. I don't like them very much. Can I honestly say then that everyone's equal at the foot of the cross? Now, we all have some judgmentalism in us, you know. We all have people that, you know, we think are not as good as us. You know, Republicans and Democrats, it's almost amusing. People who listen to classic rock versus people who listen to country. Imported cars versus domestic cars, big deal for some folks. And then there's the classic fight that goes on around here between Whitehall and Montague. Which one is better? Which one is better?
Montague,
yeah, okay. But that's a kind of a classic thing. Now, in Jesus' day, the Jews thought they were better than everyone else. They had circumcision as a big deal for them. They had kosher food. There's certain foods they couldn't eat. I've been promised a BLT this afternoon, and you know what? They can't eat it. There's no such thing as a kosher cheeseburger because you can't put dairy and beef together. So they didn't have that. It's all these rules that they had. And then they had forbidden associations. They were not allowed to speak to a Gentile, to a non-Jew, and they weren't allowed to go into their house. They definitely were not allowed to share a meal with them. And then you get to today's story. It seems that the disciple Peter had been fraternizing with the unclean people and eating unclean food. And the Greek word is unclean is how they describe these people, the ones that were not Jewish. And Peter was even going into unclean homes. So Peter's old cronies back in Jerusalem heard about this, and they pitched a fit over it, and they called Peter kind of on the carpet. And this is where we're starting the story. This story is told a few times in the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapter 11 version of it here. It says, the news traveled fast, and in no time the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem heard about it, heard that the non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. What do you think you're doing, rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited, and ruining our good name? See, and that's what the bottom line was. They were concerned about their name. They were concerned about their peers. You know, it's no concern for the souls of the outsiders. It was just their own little group and how they were viewed. There, you know, it's like we're, you know, in my particular family now, you know, my daughter's engaged and she's talking about wedding dresses. And I noticed one thing. Men could care less about a wedding dress except for the price tag. But women buy wedding dresses for other women. And it's for how they look with that, you know. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's kind of how these Pharisees were here. Is they didn't care what the outside world thought. They only cared about how they appeared to each other. And who could out-Pharisee each other. It was just kind of a tragic time. So this goes on like this. So Peter, starting from the beginning, laid it out for them step by step. Recently, I was in the town of Joppa praying. I fell into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at its four corners came down out of heaven and settled on the ground in front of me. Milling around on the blanket were farm animals, wild animals, reptiles, birds, you name it, it was there. Fascinated, I took it all in. Now, in other more extended versions of the story, we know that Peter was on a rooftop. It was noon and it was hot. He was taking a nap before he ate. And this canvas or this sheet is let down on ropes. And there's all these animals in it that he couldn't eat, like pigs, rabbits, lobster, all these animals that were forbidden for the Jews to eat. He saw them on that blanket. Now, if you want to get into the list of these forbidden foods, it is in the Bible. It's in Leviticus chapter 11, and you can see it there. Now, I don't think the original version of Leviticus had that in there. I think that was an add-on by some angry priests later, much later. The Ten Commandments are there. Ten Commandments are solid. They're wise. But all these other things, I can't imagine God creating pigs and then forbidding us to eat them. You know, but that's what they thought. And so I think that, you know, we have a much more recently edited version of Leviticus than what the original was. And that's my opinion on that. So, but anyway, the point is that at Jesus' day, the Pharisees followed these teachings to the letter. And, you know, Jewish people still do. And they follow it quite closely. I worked for a Jewish guy a couple of years when I was in Tulsa, and he still followed these kosher rules to the T. The business was called Tulsa Beef and Provisions, and the end provisions was pork, but he didn't want his Jewish buddies to know that. So we did deliver a lot of pork too. Again, I think the Ten Commandments are wise, but I think some of this other stuff is a much later addition to Leviticus. And anyway, so here the story goes on. Then I heard a voice, "Go to it, Peter, kill and eat," I said. "Oh no, master, I've never so much as tasted food that wasn't kosher." The voice spoke again, "If God says it's okay, it's okay." This happened three times, and then the blanket was pulled back in the sky. Three times is the Hebrew way of saying it's important. But the important teaching here is, if God says it's okay, it's okay. In the literal Greek of it, it says, if God says it's clean, it's clean. And don't call something unclean that God calls clean. Even scary people in Minneapolis, if God calls them clean, which he does, they're clean. Just then, three men showed up at the house where I was staying, sent from Caesarea to get me. The Spirit told me to go with them, no questions asked. So I went with them, I and six friends, to the man who had sent for me. He told us how he had seen an angel right in his own house, real as his next door neighbor, saying, "Send to Joppa and get Simon, the one they call Peter. He'll tell you something that'll save your life. In fact, you and everyone you care for." Wow. What this version leaves out is that this man was a Roman officer, the absolute enemy of the Jewish people. So Peter is sent to this Gentile's house, and the Jews today call them goyim. When I was working in Tulsa Beef, they called me their goy boy because I wasn't Jewish. And to the Jewish people of Jesus' day, of Peter's day, these were called heathens. They didn't like them at all. But yet they were sent, Peter was sent to go see them on the orders of this angel. I'll bet there was some interesting dialogue there. So it continues like this. So I started in talking. Before I'd spoken half a dozen sentences, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did on us for the first time. I remembered Jesus' words. "John baptized with water. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So I ask you, if God gave the same exact gift to them as to us when we believed in the Master Jesus Christ, how could I object to God? So the Holy Spirit fell on them, which means they got it. They got the answer. They got, you know, the gist of Christianity right there. Their hatred was turned to love right there. And Peter goes, how could I object to this? So hearing it all laid out like that, they quieted down. And then as it sank in, they started praising God. It's really happened. God has broken through the other nations, opened them up to life. So God breaks in. The important teaching from this passage is don't call unclean what God calls clean. Everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. And that means everyone. Now, Jesus taught extensively on this too, and I want to just look at a paragraph about this from the Gospel of John. This is what that looks like. As soon as Judas left the room, now, this is the night before he was crucified, Judas had just left to go do his dirty work. And this is what Jesus says, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going." What a remarkable thing that was. Judas was there, you know. I can't imagine it. And then he leaves. I wonder if Jesus thought that Judas was equal at the foot of the cross too. What was going on there? Now let's just imagine that you die and you go to heaven. I expect a few of you will make it. That was a joke. But let's say you die and go to heaven, and you run into Judas. He's there. What are you going to talk about? I think that'd be an interesting conversation. So these are kind of Jesus' parting words. And he gives the big commandment, the new commandment, is the next thing out of his mouth. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In the same chapter of John, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's not shy about saying that he and the Father are one. This is his big command. Love each other. Now, what does that mean? Well, he says, just as I have loved you. You know, there's several words for love in the Greek language. This one uses agape, the sacrificial love, the accepting love. It's the highest form of love. And this is how you can tell if you are my disciples, my followers. So ask yourself this. Can they tell you are a disciple of Jesus by your love? Can I? That's the trick question. You know, our first core value I'm really quite proud of, the acceptance, says that everyone, regardless of who they are, what they've done, or what they're doing, will be accepted here. Laketon Bethel is a safe place to explore your relationship with Jesus. And acceptance is a really good thing. But it's passive. Jesus calls us to go beyond that, to love. Love is active. That love is when you put yourself out for the person next to you. And that means you don't criticize and sabotage. It means you go the extra mile. Can they tell you're a follower of Jesus by your love? Now, I think Laketon Bethel is the most accepting church I know of. But some of you create drama. Some of you cut people down behind their backs. You need to stop that. Stop it. It makes you ugly. Makes you undesirable. Makes you look like a spoiled brat. Makes you look immature. You know who you are. So if this shoe fits, I want you to strap this puppy on and make it tight. We have to stop this. We have to stop making drama. I was in the Meyer parking lot a few days ago. I saw this. The drama llama. And it's on the side of a car, and I took a picture of it. And while I was taking the picture, the owner of the car walked up and said, what in the world? You know, so I had a little conversation with the owner of the car. And she told me that her boss was really into creating drama. So she put that on her car because she parks next to him every day. And I thought that was kind of interesting, but I went on Amazon and found some. So I'll be posting these around here. You know, I was talking with this gal a little bit too, and I said, one of the things that I tell the church here is that it's only a big deal if you make it a big deal. And she goes, well, she was going to use that at her job, so that's good. And she said she's going to be here this morning, but I didn't see her yet. So here is the big deal, is that everybody's equal at the foot of the cross. Peter found out he could accept people that didn't live up to his standards. Nobody can live up to Jesus' standards, and he accepts us all. He commands us to love each other, and life is better when we do. So let's believe this good news and live in peace. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we have to confess to you that we don't always love each other. Sometimes we say destructive things. Sometimes we say hurtful things. Sometimes we gossip like a bunch of very immature people. We confess this to you and repent from it. Now we ask that in your grace, You bless our efforts to reduce these things in our lives so that we can, so that people well know that we're your disciples by our love. Amen.